Today we're continuing the part two of these names of Allah related to providing us with our needs. We have Ar-Razzaq, we have Ar-Raziq, and we have Al-Mu'ti. The last time we talked about the Maslow triangle pyramid, Maslow pyramid, which shows the degrees of needs. Towards the bottom is more need. Towards the top, it's more want. It's up, want, down, need, needs versus want, okay? And we said the problem with it is secular. It does not include faith. It does not include the need to faith, the need to spiritual food, the need for spiritual medication, the need for spiritual environment. It doesn't include that. It's all secular, as though there is no God, or it does not acknowledge any religion. Now, the second part of the class is about how Allah has been dividing the wealth among us, distribution of wealth among us. So, when we first say rizq, rizq means provision. Ar-Razzaq is the one who provides rizq. Risk is the provision. There is a common mistake. We immediately think about provisions. But this is not, but actually, I'm sorry, when we talk about provisions, we think about wealth. Risk, we think that risk is wealth. But no, actually, wealth is among the least important components of risk. Risk is much more than wealth. Risk includes health, happiness, children, spouses, homes, efficiency, blessings. There's a lot of things regarding the risk, okay? And there is, regarding the risk, and regard a lot of people are so angry with Allah for regarding this issue of dividing the risk among them. Some of them accuse Allah to be unfair or unjust. Allah committed, they accuse Allah that he has committed injustice by giving them so little. And they think they deserve better and that other people deserve less than that. And so they are so angry at Allah for dividing the, regarding the issue of dividing the shares of life, the shares of rizq, the shares of provision. Dividing it, giving one more than the other. Okay, so there are two words that comes into this context. The first word is called the rida. Rida means content. So you're content with what and thankful to Allah, accepting what Allah has provided to you, and you still love Allah, worship Allah, and you're not angry at Allah for giving you. You're always happy. Alhamdulillah, he gave me health. Alhamdulillah, we have one car. Alhamdulillah, I have $1,000. Alhamdulillah, I have a house. Alhamdulillah, this is called rida. Sakhat is the opposite, which is, damn it, only one car, we need five. Damn it, only small home, we need big. You know, for some people, sakhat means like, this. Why did you give me this? Why did you give me $10,000 and this guy has $100,000? Not fair. You know? They are talking to Allah. They are angry at Allah. This is called sukhut, which is rida means satisfied, alhamdulillah, accepting what Allah has given you. Sukhut is angry at Allah. And it's a major sin. It's a major, major sin. To have sukht on Allah, to be angry at Allah for not giving you all what you want to have, for not providing you with all what you want to have. People being angry at Allah is really a bad sin. And you know what? Allah is not going to increase your wealth for being angry with Him. Allah is not going to increase your provisions. Your provisions are predetermined. If you're happy with them, you go to Jannah. If you're not happy with them, bang your head against the wall. They are not going to get, you're not going to get more than that. That's what is has been predetermined. Okay. And another thing to keep in mind also that humans don't appreciate wealth until they are sick. And they don't appreciate health until they're sick. They don't appreciate wealth until they're poor. So people don't really appreciate the blessing until they are deprived from that blessing. Then they feel how precious it was, the blessing, when you're deprived from it. Okay. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people that they are angry at Allah for giving them less than what they want. There is Surah Al-Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr is saying,
as for man, when his Lord tests him, and thus gives him honor and bounties, he says, my Lord has honored me. But when he tests him, and thus straightens his provision for him, he says, my Lord has disgraced me. No. But you do not honor the often.
So basically what is happening here is that humans are getting mad at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah gives them. When Allah gives them, they say, yes, we deserve it. Allah knows what he has given us. Allah knows that we deserve that thing. Allah knows what he's doing. Otherwise, he wouldn't provide us this. Okay? And when Allah cuts down their provisions, okay, they say, this is an insult. Allah doesn't know what he's doing. Why isn't giving me this? Why is he taking away this from me? Why and why? So the answer, Allah said, for both of you, no. Kalla, kalla, for both of you, no, no. The one who says, Allah gave to me, I'm pleased with him because he knows that I deserve it, no. Answer is no. For those who say, Allah insulted me, he didn't give me what I deserve, the answer is kalla, no. For both, the answer is no. No. Okay. Allah provides us with shares of wealth and talent. Let's see what Surah Al-Nahl says about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Allah has given some of you preference over others in provision. So, those given preference are not willing to pass on their provision to their slaves, so that they become equal in it. Do they, then, reject the blessing of Allah?
So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he has made people have more wealth or more provisions than the other, more provisions than others. And Allah saying, whatever he decided, nobody's going to change. The wealthy is not going to give his wealth to the unwealthy. It's not going to happen. It is what Allah, you know, you might give a charity, 10%, 5%, whatever charity you do, but this charity will still not make that person you're giving to as rich as you are. Or not even close. We see. So Allah saying he is the one who decreed and divided the shares among you, among us. And we are not going to be able to undo what he did. So if he created me rich and created my brother poor, I will never make my brother rich and I'm poor. I will never give my brother what I own, so that he becomes rich and I become poor. This doesn't happen. Okay. And if it happened, like individual, like one incident here or another incident, very, very, very rare incidents that somebody is going to like take his money, give it to his brother so that his brother becomes the rich and he's the poor. It doesn't happen. Usually it doesn't happen. So Allah is saying, it is me that divided the risk among you, and it is me that will change it, not you. Allah might make your poor brother richer than you, but Allah may, not you. So you're not going to give your brother so much money from yours so that he becomes the rich and you're the poor. This doesn't happen. Okay? And you might ask me and say, why wouldn't Allah make everybody rich? The Quran says that two things. Number one, people will ruin the earth. People will turn into spoiled rats. Okay? They will be spoiled and they will ruin the earth. Let's see what the surah says.
Chidala. Expand the provision for his servants to its full extent. They would spread mischief on earth, but he sends down what he wills in due measure. Surely, with regard to his slaves, he is all aware, ever watchful.
So basically, Allah intentionally is limiting the provision so that people don't corrupt the earth, because people will be corrupt and corrupt the earth. That's one reason. And the second reason is that we wouldn't be able to employ each other, because if we all have the same wealth, then you wouldn't find people to cook for you, fix your car, build your homes, develop your technology, etc. So there has to be hierarchy of needs, okay, so that, you know, we can employ each other. Like Allah said here,
is it they who allocate the mercy of your Lord? We have allocated among them their livelihood in the worldly life, and have raised some of them over others in ranks, so that some of them may put some others to work. And the mercy of your Lord is much better than what they accumulate.
See? So basically, to employ one another, Allah raised our ranks over each other so that we employ one another. Otherwise, if we all have the same wealth or rich, who's going to do the dirty work? Now, the second question comes, okay, why would Allah make believers rich? Since believers are good, Allah loves them, and non-believers are bad, and Allah doesn't love them, then why doesn't he making believers rich and the non-believers? And the answer is, that in this case, will be hard to observe the intention, to determine the intention. Because if you are becoming a believer, are you becoming a believer because you really, or because you want the money? So there will be a doubt in the intentions of the people. Whether they are becoming believers because they love Allah or they're becoming believers because they love money. Okay? That's why Allah does not restrict his wealth to one category over the other. Let's see what Allah says in Surah Al-Isra.
Whoever opts for the immediate benefits from life herein, we give him, right here in this life, as much as we will, to whomever we intend. Then we assign Jahannam for him, where he shall enter condemned, discarded. And whoever opts for the hereafter and makes efforts for it as due, while he is a believer, then the effort of such people is appreciated. To all of them, both these and those, we extend the grants of your Lord. and the grant of your Lord is not barred for any one.
So here is the verse here, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ones who are looking forward for the pleasures of this life, and they don't care about the day of judgment. They just want pleasures now, wealth now, money now, everything they wanted now. And they have no, and they don't care about what happens in the next life. Okay? Then Allah will give them some, see here, what we will do to, here. I'm trying to highlight it, but it's not letting me. Yes. Allah give what we will to whomsoever or to whomever we want, we intend. So it's not everybody who's asking for pleasures, and he cares only about the pleasures of this life, and he doesn't care about the pleasures of the next life. This person is not getting everything he or she wants. No. Some of the wants that they want, some of the things they want, Allah will give. And Allah will decide what to give them and what to deprive them from. So in other words, if they care only about this life and they don't care about life to come, doesn't mean that Allah will give them everything and give them what he wants to give to what to whomever he intends to give. Okay? Then the end is Jahannam, which is hellfire. But the ones who are looking for the hereafter and makes effort and believe and do righteous deeds, then those people's efforts are appreciated. And then the conclusion is that to all of them, both that they want this life and those who don't want this life, we extend, we provide to them without any discrimination. So the fact that you're a disbeliever and you're becoming a believer is not attached to being rich, okay? It's not attached to being more. So when people believe, you don't know, are you believing because of your love Allah or are you believing because of the money? No, not restricted. People can, there are rich believers and there are poor believers. There are rich disbelievers and there are poor disbelievers. So this, they are not attached together. Okay, now Allah made us rank as a test. As a test in this life, and in the day of judgment, there will be more ranking as well. Let's see what Surah Al-Isra says about that.
See how we made some of them excel some others in this world, and of course, the hereafter is much higher in ranks and much greater in degrees of merit.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a test. It's a test. And in the day of judgment will be raised ranks above others based on the deeds. Okay. So in this life, difference of rank is intended for test. In the next life, difference in rank is intended for the good deeds. So high ranking would be higher good deeds. Low ranking would be lower good deeds. Okay. So, risk exists in this life for the purpose of testing, exists in the hereafter for the purpose of honoring and rewarding. Now, the purpose of difference in shares in this life is to test us. Who says that? Let's hear.
It is he who made you the vicegerents of the earth and raised some of you in ranks over others, so that he may test you in what he has given you. Surely, your Lord is swift in punishing, and surely he is most forgiving, very merciful.
Okay, so that was intended as a test. Okay, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the surah that we're memorizing, it says that a correction of rank will take place when, at the day of judgment, some ranks will go up and other ranks will go down. In this life, ranks was a test, but in the head of judgment, ranks is based on the deeds.
بسم الله
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, when the imminent event of doom will occur, there will be no one to deny its occurrence. It will be abasing, some exalting others.
So some will go up, some will go down. The good guys will go up, the bad guys will go down. And people will be ranked based on their deeds, not based on their wealth or visions like. Okay. Now you might ask another question, says, why wouldn't Allah make believers poor since they go to Jannah? So why deprive, why not depriving them from provisions in this life, make them poor and make the number? The answer is that all the people on the face of the earth will turn into non-believers. Non-believers. Let's see what Surah Zukhruf says about that.
Were it not that all people would become of a single creed, for example, disbelief, we would have caused, for those who disbelieve in Rahman, roofs of their houses to be made of silver, and the stairs as well, on which they would climb, and doors of their homes, and the coaches on which they would recline, and would have made some of these things of gold ornaments. And all this is nothing but an enjoyment of the worldly life. And the hereafter, with your Lord, is destined for the God-fearing.
So basically Allah saying everybody will be bad. Everybody would be bad. If I restrict my wealth, the wealth only to the non-believers, the whole entire world will become bad. Okay. Now, Allah created people with equal rights, but not with equal opportunities. In other words, Allah in created people and to us to give equal rights. But he does not order us to give equal opportunities. In other words, he is asking us to treat people equal rights. But it's not possible to give them equal opportunities. It's impossible to give people equal opportunities. But it is, we are required to give them equal rights, but not equal opportunities. We can try, but not going to happen. Opportunities vary. Some people are born. One guy is born as a prince. Another guy is born as a starved to death. One guy is, has 10 times as much food as he wants, and the other guy is starving, can't find money for breakfast. Someone has $1 million, multi-million dollars bank account for wealth, and somebody else, he dies because he has not have 50 cents price to pay for a shot. So people are not born at equal. Allah shares of provisions include pain, pleasure, health, wealth, kids, marriage, happiness, etc. Very few people believe that these shares are pre-assigned. So Allah swore by his glory that he has assigned these wealth, and in order to confirm that, he, Allah, had to swear. So Allah will never lie, but he has to swear to the people to believe that it is truly indeed the provision pre-assigned.
And in the heavens, there is your sustenance and all that you have been promised. So, by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, it, the day of recompense, is a reality, as sure as the fact that you can speak.
Well, I'm not saying, swearing and saying, that is the case. That is the case. They are pre-assigned in heaven. They are pre-decreed, pre-assigned already. Now, if they are pre-assigned, then what can we do about it? How are we being tested? We choose how to get our wealth. If we choose to get our wealth, the wealth we're going to get our shares is going to come. Our shares are going to come to us either way. But there are two ways to get these shares, either the halal way or the haram way, the good way or the bad way. And this is where we get, earn the good deeds or the bad deeds. Okay. There's a story about Ali ibn Abi Talib. He had a camel and he wanted to go in town. So he trusted the guy with this camel. He noticed that the guy was looking at the camel like lost desire to. He noticed, but he said, I'll write about it. Back. So he went into his town. I'm going to get this guy the camel because he had so much to breed. Like, he had so much trust in getting the camel. So when he arrived, the guy said, yeah. So he said, I wanted to give him the camel as a gift, but he stole it. He got the camel. But if he would have been patient, he would have got it the halal way as a gift from Ali radiallahu anhu. But because he didn't want wait and he was willing to accept it the haram way, he's willing to accept it the haram way. So it came to him the haram way. So the wealth is predetermined. It's up to you to choose how to get it, the halal way or the haram way. And this is where you get earned hasanat or you get earned bad deeds. And Allah has also decreed our future pain and pleasure, pain and suffering. Okay? That what Allah wants us to see is to be thankful. Is if you get, you be thankful. If you don't get, be patient. But they are pre-decreed. And there's the concept of happiness, but using drug tests. If this curve represents here, this curve here represents your happiness along your life, it goes up, little up, down, depends on circumstances and events, and up and down. That's fine. But when you use drugs, you borrow happiness from the future into your present. So you have so much happiness now, but when you use up all your happiness, you become miserable. And ask those who use drugs. Once they get used to it, it's not a joy anymore. They have to have it because they have to have it because, not because really, because they have a biological needs for it afterwards. It becomes a dependency. It's not a joy. It's not a pleasure. It's not a pleasure. Okay. So they borrowed all the happiness that they got in the future here because our share of happiness. And then it's up to us how to use it. If you use it doing drugs, then you get everything during the beginning, and then you become miserable towards the end. Okay? So it's up to us how to get our happiness. And it's also up to us how to get our pain. So if you don't get your pain from fasting, paying charity, volunteering for the sake of Allah, this gives you pain, but it has an added pain. But if you decide not to fast and you think that you can escape the pain, no. The amount of pain that we will deliver to you is determined. And it's up to you. If you want to get it in worship, then you get it with hand. Or if you get it in, if avoid the worship, so that you want to stay away from pain that worship, then it will come to you through. The pain will come to you in terms of disease. The pain will come to you loss of loved ones. Pain. Either way, if you accept doing the pain, the worship, pain will, your share of pain will go through, and you get good deeds. If you don't run away from, if you run away from worship and say, okay, now I ran away from pain, but it is going to be, the different form is not going to be rewarded as, not going to be rewarded when you use it to fast and to make night prayers and things like that, then you have used the pain the right way. You have employ it, the pain, the right way. have consumed your share of pain and earned hasanah. And Allah didn't give the entire share of provisions to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give them directly shares to them. Give them some and give the rich some of the shares of the book. So this share can be transferred by the cash. So if there is a hungry poor person, there has to be a fat rich. The rich didn't give the shares to the poor, either because he refuses to pay zakat or because he's extravagant and he wasted the wealth. So he wasted the wealth, he wasted the zakat with it. And that's why when the Allah saying in Surah Yasin about the guys, the bad guys, when the good guys tell them, why don't you feed the poor and needy? They tell them, should we feed someone? This is Allah's job. They're telling them, this is Allah's job. And we're not going to feed. I didn't, basically. Allah decided to bribe. That's what they say. And it's a ridiculous, silly, ridiculous argument. We're not testing Allah. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can himself. Of course, you know, that's take a genius. We're not testing Allah. We know that. But Allah wants to us to show him gratitude by paying the zakat to the poor. Okay. Now, also notice that some people might get more shares in one area, but less shares in another area. So Allah provides you a package. If you don't like it, too bad. But Allah will provide you a package. Let's say, for example, a person A, he has 30 shares given to him in four children, 35 shares in wealth, 30 shares in health. Okay, so he adds up to, I think this should be 30, 40. They add up to 100, 13 in children, 40 in wealth, 13 in health. So he has 100. Or Allah may give him 80 in the children, 10 in wealth, 10 in health. They also add up to 100. Or Allah can give him 5 in the children, but 90 in wealth, 5 in health. So this person will have a lot of children, but poor health. This person have a lot of wealth, poor children, poor health. But this person has a lot of, but no children and no wealth. Or like 20% any shares of wealth. So at the very end of the day, they all equal to one. But this one is distributed. The shares are distributed. This one, the focus was on the children. This one, focus on wealth. This one, focus on health. What I'm trying to tell you is that people, there are some that have a total number of shares, okay, to be almost equal, okay, but they are distributed differently from one person to another. This is called the package. And the package, people always look at the grass and say the other grass is cleaner than our grass, it's greener. The other grass is greener than ours. And it's not just that we love, we ignore what we have and we always look to what we don't have. And that's why we think that the other's grass is greener than our grass. But Allah is the one that does distribution of shares like on different areas of provisions, areas of risk. Okay. Children, wealth, health, three areas of risk for poor people. And this table is for the purpose of bearing that, illustrating that some people might be equal, but in different areas of wealth, different components of risk. Okay? So if you try to, there was an Egyptian movie that there's a guy who tried to change this package. There was a guy who's a billionaire, but he can't have the children for biological reason, and it's his fault. It's not from his wife, it's from him. He's the one that have biological that would deprive him from having children. The other guy have a lot of children, has very little money, and he's struggling. So they decided to share that with each other, decided to share it. How about if we exchange? I give you half of my money, and then we do a surgery to take a portion of the brain that controls the control, and take it out from your brain, put it in my brain. And in exchange, I'll give you half of my wealth. So now you will have wealth and children. And for me, I would have also wealth and children. The biological fixed by this surgery so that I can get children. And they made this deal. And at the very end of the movie, it's a long story, but at the very end, turns into that the guy who lost part of his brain, the part of the brain was cut off, he became crazy. He became crazy because of this. And he lost his, when he became a crazy, he lost his children, his money. And the guy got this portion of the brain inserted, planted into his brain, got a stroke. He became paralyzed, couldn't move because of foreign body inside his brain. So the brain started rejecting the foreign body, and it got complicated, and he brought him stroke. So he didn't keep his money, and he got a stroke. So he lost everything. Both of them lost everything at the end because they tried to redistribute the package that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And the true richness is the richness of the heart, really. Choosing the package that Allah chooses for you, shares with his spouse, wealth, beauty, family, nobility, and faith. These are all forms of richness if you have abundance of these. But keep in mind that richness is always at the heart. Doesn't matter where it goes. To be rich is really in the heart. Richness is really in the heart. You don't feel rich in your heart, doesn't matter. Never feel. And if you feel rich in your heart, then it doesn't matter how bad it gets. You'll always feel rich. Satisfied in what Allah, richness, in this case, comes because you're content. You're satisfied with what Allah has given you. Whether they are less or more, you're accepting it and you're thankful. That's richness of heart. There was a story about a millionaire that would be very lavish, very extravagant parties, lavish parties, but can't eat, drink the fancy because he has problem digestion. So he makes lots of parties and he is the best drinks, and he watches his guests eating and drinking, eating his drinks, but he is not able to do that because he has digestion problem. He could probably allow to eat it like a piece of cracker or something like that, something high. So he's feeding people and he's watching people eating his food and he can't eat it. This is an example of a person that was given the blessing but was deprived from it at the same time. Life of is a matter of perception, as we explained before. You can be rich and not happy, or you can be poor and happy. There is the example of that rich lady that was not happy with, she goes into the palace, her mansion, she's not happy about, oh, look at the loan, the guy who does the loan. He forgot to cut this part. At this, the grass is taller than there. Why? This swimming is as leaves in it. is not happy. She's not looking for something wrong to make her angry and sad, depressed, even though she lives in a big, fancy mansion. On the other hand, there's that very old, poor lady selling lemons for a few pennies. And she is, when she sells all her lemons, she makes like $2-3 out of this profit. She's so happy with the dollars, $3-4 that she got, and she's so happy and she's so content, and she thanks Allah, Ya Allah, thank you, you helped me to pay it, sell all my lemons, and I made good money, $3-4. Thank you, Ya Allah. Very happy. She's very thankful, even though she's way much poorer than the other one. There is a story about Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam has an ant. So he asked the ant, how much is enough for you in 1 year? So the ant said, one grain is enough for me to feed. And this is what I usually do. I eat one grain. So Prophet Sulaiman said, fine. I'm going to put you in a bottle and put one grain with you. And every year I'm going to give you one grain. So he put her in a bottle, and he put in the bottle one grain of food. At the end of the year, when he opened the bottle to put another grain, he found out that she did not eat her entire grain. She ate only half. So he asked her, she said, well, why did you eat half? You said, want to eat one grain per year. Why did you eat half? She said, because when I was free, I was depending on Allah directly for my provisions. And I have no worry at all that Allah is going to give me the grain that I need. But when you put me in the bottle, now I am dependent on you, not on Allah. And you are a creation of Allah. You are a man, and you can forget. So what I decided to do is eat one day and fast another day, so that just in case you forget me, I have enough to live for another year. And that was very meaningful, because it shows that when you're depending on Allah for your provisions, you don't worry. Allah will never forgive you. Allah will never forget you. Okay? But if you are depending on others, then You must worry, because these other people will and might forget you. Okay. There are two other stories, but inshallah we'll end here so that we can